Are you looking for a tool flexible enough for spring and fall tillage? With on-the-fly adjustment of blade angle from 0 to 19 degrees, the Summers VRT Renegade gives you the field results you want, whether you need to chop corn stalks, fine-tune a seed bed, or anything in between. Go to SummersMFG.com or visit your local dealer to learn more about the VRT Renegade and North America's broadest line of tillage equipment from North Dakota-based Summers Manufacturing.
Welcome back. It is Farm Talk, Mick Care. For some people, planting is soon done or is all done. Others are spinning tires in mud. Let's see what's happening at the Dakota Lakes Research Farm just east of Pier. We welcome to Farm Talk, Dwayne Beck. Hello, Dwayne.
Good afternoon, Nick. How are you?
I'm real good. Hey, it sounds like you parked on a hill there east of Pier. Great signal on your cell phone.
Well, good. We don't have many places. You got to pick them. So, yeah, I found a hill.
All right. Thank you. So, what are you doing today on the Dakota Lakes Research Farm?
Well, we're just trying to finish up seeding is the main thing. I got a little bit of soybean left and a little bit of Milo to do. Almost everything else done. So, just doing that, and then we'll get ready to irrigate maybe on some of it.
That's super. Emergence, are you things starting, your rows showing yet?
Yeah, no, the corn's pretty much all up, and beans not yet, but I don't want them up too early. The canola and the flax and the spring grains and stuff look really good, actually.
Great. Now, a lot of people, hold you in high regard when it comes to no-till soil health and, love going to where you give speeches. But they should also remember that you are a South Dakota State University professor, and that's kind of part of what you do. So in the research side there, as you pored over the data over the winter, did you have any late epiphanies over the winter?
Well, the big thing that we did last summer instead of that is maybe not normal is we planted a few more cover crops because we went into harvest with some moisture, so we did quite a bit more work with cover crop, which we use some of that for forages anyway, so we would do that, but we did some fields we normally wouldn't use for forage just to try to firm up the ground this spring, and that worked really well. I've got actually one graduate student working on that pretty hard.
Alrighty. Cover crops work well there for you east of Pier?
Well, we tend to stay with a high carbon one, so we'll do barley and spring wheat. Barley and oats and that kind of stuff, especially where we're going to broadleaf crops or we're going to corn. We'll throw some broadleaf things in there, but we need the carbon to get organic matter up. That's our biggest drive.
Sure. And that is the case in a lot of places. What is a good example of a high carbon cover crop?
Well, that would be the oats and the barley and those kind of things. We let them get almost to when they're headed out and trying to start to make grain before we either swath them to graze them or we terminate them.
Yeah. And those are also a couple of crops they use up in northeast North Dakota to help with the salinity issues.
Well, and that's, the big thing with salinity is trying to get your water balance fixed. And we got a lot of water balance issues all over the Dakotas, but it's, especially in the eastern part and then in those lacustrian water, lake valleys, Red River Valley and the James River Valley, they have lots of salinity issues. And I started my career working at Redfield on the Lake Dakota Plain. So, we understand those soils, and I think we're going to have to do more perennials on those, and I think we're going to have to do more perennials out here. It's instead of just producing stuff to export, we're going to probably have to try to cycle more of our own nutrients here.
All right, yeah, just let the soil manufacture them and keep them in the soil, huh?
Well, I mean, the saline seep you have, what's in that saline seep, this is a test they give to students when they show up at the farm, and if if they don't know it, then I get mad at their instructor. But what's in a saline seep is really fertilizer. It's lime and gypsum, and you may have a few places where there's sodic quants, but most of what's in there, and then there's calcium nitrate. I mean, these are all fertilizers. And they're there because we didn't use them and cycle them right. You don't find them on CRP, and you don't find them in pastures, really. And the same thing with low pH soils is that's because you're letting your carbon, your calcium get away from you. And it's moving out. And if we have perennials, we can cycle it.
That's that white powder on the surface, calcium and unused fertilizer.
Unused fertilizer, yes.
Yeah.
And I did a thing in Montana this past winter because they have a lot of low pH soils out there where they farm. And I had the NRCS people in an area I was going to speak at go out and take samples from native vegetation and CRP right where the guys had low pH soils. And wherever there was the CRP and the native vegetation, the pHs were neutral and they were very acidic where they were farming. And just means they're letting their nutrients leak away. And exporting your nutrients, whether you export it when you export your grain or whether you export it because you just waste it and let it go to the lake, it's neither one of those is a good thing.
All right, Duane, you have some unique research projects on the Dakota Lakes Research Farm there. I know there's one field where you've had continuous corn year after year for how many years?
Well, not longer than you've been alive, Mick, but since 1990.
All right. And what's your average, what's your APH on that field?
Well, we're just a 200 bushel an acre there. I don't think it's necessarily the best way to grow corn, but it's the best way with annual crops to capture carbon. So we have the highest organic matter there of any of the continuously cropped fields. We, you know, some of our fields where we have perennials, and that exceeds what we can do with the continuous corn. But
yeah,
you know, that was our idea when we started, is it to a look at that and to look at a way to control insects without insecticides, and we haven't used an insecticide on the farm. This would be the 18th year.
That is amazing that you get 200 bushel to the acre corn there, central South Dakota, doing what you're doing. So, hey, do you have a field day planned for this summer so anybody listening can come down and see what you're doing?
Well, we normally have our field day on the 28th of June, but they've told us we won't be able to do that this year.
Bummer.
And I'll see if they change their mind. I mean, so we're trying to figure out how we're going to do it electronically, and I'd encourage everybody just go to our website, dakotalakes.com, and we'll update them. I'm thinking we might be able to pull it off in the end, but you know, I don't know what this thing's going to do. So for right now, they said we're just not scheduling field days until later.
Yeah, that's the way it is at the university level. Everybody is either face-to-face work or anything like that, but maybe right after Labor Day, maybe something can happen. That's a little lull in between, wheet harvest. Hopefully get done by wheat before we start soybeans and corn, so maybe September would be a good time to have that, huh?
Yeah, we do those, and the normal big one is always the last Thursday in June, so that's...
Yeah.
And the other ones we do ad hoc, and we advertise them. But they, you know, they did allow me to do my social distancing in a tractor cab and stuff. So,
which is the way of the world in agriculture right now. Hey, Duane, we're out of time. Thank you so much for the visit. We appreciate everything you do and say, and we'll check out your website.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Bye.
You bet. Bye now. Duane Beck, DakotaLakes.com. Great research farm down there, just east of Pierce, South Dakota.